Hey guys, Justin Shank here, host of the top-ranked podcast, The Growth Now Movement. I currently rank in the top 15% in the world, and I want to help you do that as well. So I've created an online course and a mastermind that you can join for free for 30 days. All you have to do is go to launchfixgrow.com and sign up today. I'll see you there.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I'm your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx Speaker, Business Positioning Strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 66 countries, such as the U.S., Mexico, U.K., Sweden, China, Australia, New Zealand. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that has changed our lives and how we use this to then transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Tuesday through Friday. I ask you that you join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community. Please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, the Google Play Music app, or wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts. On the show, I bring on entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, podcasters, other authors, and amazing people who are impacting the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any question for any of the guests that I bring on the show during our live broadcast, you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. If you have a question, come and ask on the show. So please help me welcome to the show, Marianne Bacall Uba. Hey, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hi, Sean. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited, and I love the intro that you said about focusing on transformation.
Oh, yeah. That's the reason why I want to do the show. Like, it has to be about transformation. And yeah. So when I first started, I was, it was purely interview. I had like 11 questions, and it was like all over the place, right? Like I had questions mm-hmm. about questions and written out, And then I found out that a lot of people were resonating with the show just by talking, just by having a conversation. So then I swapped late last year to Life Transformation Radio is about conversations that transform. And so that's what we're doing now is we're having conversations that just transform lives. And so
yeah.
I'm not an interview.
It's organic. I love it.
Yes. Oh, 100%. 100%. So, I'm ready. Yeah, let's do this. Like, I'm super pumped because I've been checking in to see kind of what you've been doing. And I cannot remember. I think we just became Facebook friends, just like normal people would nowadays. I see what you're doing. I see that, you've got the podcast and the speaking, and you're doing a lot of different things with women. So I'm digging exactly what you're doing. So it's amazing to have you on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And I think, we connected through Jared because we're in a few podcast Facebook groups together. And I think, how it goes when you're kind of in the circles or Jared's amazing. Yeah. Yeah, he's
100%.
He's really such like a big-hearted guy. Like he's a connector too. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. So the title of this episode is From Survivor to Thriver with Marianne Bacall Uba. She is a conscious business coach, speaker, and founder of Thriver Lifestyle. She helps women step into their power and soulfully thrive in life and business. She is also a certified Wow. Prana, say that for
Pranayama. Pranayama?
I was going to just say it as it sounds, but you just want to make sure. So we're definitely going to dive into what this is. Pranayama and meditation teacher and host of Thriver Lifestyle Podcast. So right now, you should stop listening to what I'm saying, and you should go and search Apple or look at the show notes where it says podcast and click and subscribe to her show. Or get onto your podcast app and subscribe to Thriver Lifestyle Podcast. And Mondays with Marian on YouTube. In addition to offering one-on-one coaching and online group programs, Marian advocates for women's empowerment, mental health, and wellness. She merges her 15-plus years of marketing, event production, and business development experience with her mission to create positive social impact. Marian has been featured on CBS Los Angeles, ABS-CBN, Thrive Global, Elephant Journal, Bustle, Sway Media, and over 30 podcasts and publications. To learn more about her and for more information, visit www.marianbacolubia. It's right there in the show note. Marian Bacolubia. And follow her on Instagram. Look up her YouTube channel. It's all right there in the show notes. Go and click on those or copy paste into your browser and learn more. So after reading that, I'm even more intrigued because we definitely need to know what that is. But
yes,
what is your why? What is your reason why you do what you do?
And I love this question. And my why has evolved. I always believe our whys evolve to a certain sense as we evolve and transform. And my why is really to share my journey to inspire others that they can transform their lives from survivor to thriver, because most people are actually operating in survivor consciousness, in survivor mode, and they don't even know it because of conditioning, things that happened in their past, and they've just built up these walls. So most people are operating this way, and it's really not conducive to, you know, thriving, abundance in both life and business. So that's really my why and sharing, because I used to be like that. I was in survivor mode for pretty much most of my life.
So what were you trying to survive, though? Was it like just business?
So I was actually a survivor, and this is something that didn't really hit me till I got older. Because coming from an Asian American background and family, we're told to, you know, always stay quiet, don't say anything, to rock the boat. Even if it's this culture of extreme respect for elders, but at the same time, it's so extreme at the cost of silence. So even if someone has done something wrong or bad, you're not allowed to say anything because you can't shame the family. In Asian cultures, it's very about the family unit, which I can see and relate to and I love, but at the expense of the individual. But that can go way off course. And for me, I actually was I was sexually abused by my own father for years, since from I was 10 to until I left for college. I was told to I was told to never speak about it. So I kept it in. And I sort of, I had this double life for most of my life. So when I was at school, because school for me was actually the safest place, so I was super involved. I did very well in school. I was involved in, I was class president, captain of mock trial, volleyball, choir, you name it, drama, musicals, everything, because I didn't want to be at home. When people wanted to be at home, their safe haven, for me, that wasn't safe. So I did everything possible so I could stay at school the longest. And that for me, and so people are like, oh my gosh, she does so well in school, but that was my double life. And no one really knew that outside of that, I had a whole different personality, because I actually had I started my longest relationship with drugs and alcohol when I was 13. And no one knew, cause I wasn't the typical, like, doing, you know, you flunk school or you miss things,
right.
You know, you'd never suspect, but that was at that time, I was like, oh, this is the only time when I was high or drunk that I could forget my reality, which was I had to, you know, with my father. My mother was always working. I had tried telling her when I was 14, and she told me that I was lying. And basically, I was like, okay, so I had just suppressed it. So my whole life, I just was in survivor mode. I knew that I had to protect myself. I couldn't trust the people who people normally trust, our parents. So that was sort of what I did. And to some degree, it helped me excel because I was so competitive and I was very independent and I, you know, supported myself through college and did all this, but at the expense of my own mental health and my own physical health, because I just self-medicated through drugs and alcohol. Even though I excelled in college, I went to, you know, the corporate route. I moved up to be the marketing director at 27 of an international company, international Asian grocery chain and retailer. But I was miserable. I was completely miserable because, this, you know, I was split inside and I didn't know how to deal with it.
Wow. You know, it's so sad because I didn't know any of that prior. I mean, it's not like you just advertise and, you know. But over 200 episodes of this show, and I would say probably a good at least 50% stems from childhood trauma. Like even me, like I was physically abused, not just physically. I got, you had the crap beat out of me by my ex-stepfather when I was a child for many years. And then he, you know, abused my mom and, you know, my older sister and stuff. You know, she got that type of, you know, abuse. But it's just like when I have people on the show, you know, and they start off, you know, with the, you know, I was abused as a child. And inside I'm like going, damn, another one? Like, gee, like, is it like, oh, man, just our generation seems like everybody was abused. You know, and it's like, it's so crazy to me. I meet so many people that go, you know, abuse. And I was like, Jesus, like, was that the culture back in the 70s and 80s? Like, is that just what you did to your children? You know?
Because, I actually think so. Parents, that generation weren't as conscious, you know, because I can speak from an Asian culture. A lot that I know were sexually, but also physically abused, but that was like, but that's discipline. That's how you do it. You know, you beat them till they're bleeding or whatever, but that's how you, like, it's just kind of this cultural thing. Same thing I came from a very patriarchal society, growing up Filipino, where my mom always turned a blind eye, even though my dad did a whole bunch of other things, you know, cause I'm like, oh, that's what men do. And I'm like, that's not what men do. But I truly think it's also their generation is a lot more closed-minded and, you know, this is the only way and this is how it's always been. And I remember it's like, it's either you live under my roof and it's like my rules, like there is, even if you, something was right and you presented everything in a nice way, it's like, I don't care, you know, it's, I'm correct just because I'm older. Yeah. It's just this very totalitarian type of environment. And I know I'm not alone. I've spoken to many friends, family, clients who, you know, have this, unfortunately, from their own family.
You know, I've never said this to my kids, but my mom has always told me when I was a kid, like, I brought you in this world, I can take you out. Like, and as I got older, you know, I was like, was my mom threatening my life? was she advocating for murder? Like, and it's just, I would never say that to my kids. I would have said, well, I'll take you out of this world. You know, you're basically telling them, like, I'll murder you. You know, like, you don't say that to your kids. You know, so as I look back at my childhood and I remember the things that were said to me and how that made me feel, I really try not to do that with my kids. I got four kids, ranging from 15 to 16 months old. But I never told my kids because I would take them out of this world.
Because I think it's really our generation now is here to stop that cycle, really. you know, because it's a cycle that perpetuated. I'm pretty sure my dad was abused. You know, there's, you know, studies have shown that those who have, you know, sexually abused others have been sexually abused and abused in general in their own lives, and they perpetuate that cycle. But I believe it's our, as we become more conscious and aware of our lives and our mental health and our spiritual health, it's our, you know, we're here to really stop that, to break that cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. I 100% agree. Like I said, I've never never said that, like, to my kids.
I can't,
you know,
picture,
I can't imagine
either
saying,
you know,
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the same thing. I don't have kids yet, but the things that my parents did, said, like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I would never, ever. But this has taught me what not to do.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. My older sister and I have had many conversations with my mom. We go, you know, Mom, the one thing you did tell us, though, or show us, or whatever, is how not to parent a child or not to have a marriage. Like, that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah. So if you've taught us anything, that's it. So, so what would you say is the transformational moment? I mean, we follow, I mean, you can go back and listen to a lot of the episodes where something has happened. You know, the childhood abuse stopped, or the trauma. I got into drugs and alcohol. I got into not drugs, but like alcohol, you know, self-medicating because it made me feel better. I didn't want to feel anything, or, you know, whatever. You know, and there's always this moment that, you know, enough is enough, or all of a sudden they become a parent and they're like, oh God, this just got real. What was your transformational moment that has put you on the path to what you're doing now?
In April 2014, which is 5 years this year, I actually overdosed and had an out-of-body near-death experience. And that was really what changed my life. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Talk about that, please.
I was, you know, doing the usual and what people, and now I realize it was just survivor. Most people are surviving, you know, the work week to go for the weekend. They're surviving in this relationship to just settle. And it's their survivor mode. Even though people won't say I'm a survivor, they're operating in survivor mode. And this is how I was. And I didn't realize it. I thought this is what you did. You weren't at a job that you made a lot of money, but weren't happy with. In order to work all these hours on the weekend, you kind of like disconnect. So you would party or you would drink or whatever it was. And then you do that cycle over again. And because that's what you're taught, that's life, right? And you just kind of resign to it. And people even had me when I tried to voice it, like to family or other, they were like, you're so ungrateful. You have this great job, this great title. You know, you travel, all this stuff. You know, you should, you know, other people don't have it. Like, you're so ungrateful. I was like, okay. So I internalize it again. Oh, this is me. I'm ungrateful. And this cycle perpetuated. So it was just another weekend. But in April, 5 years ago, a lot of events happened in my life that, looking back, obviously, I know now, that led up to this point. For one point, for about a year, I actually had to move back to my parents' house. In the house where my dad, where I grew up with all of that. So that triggered a lot. Where I worked was near there, and I wanted to save money to pay off student loans, you know, all this, because I had, you know, supported myself. And within a week from each other, I remember this, in the first week of April, my niece and my nephew, who are 6 months and 8 months, both passed away within a week from each other.
What? How old were they?
And 6 months, so they're babies, 6 months and 8 months. My nephew died of SIDS.
Oh, my. I am not emotionally equipped to bury a child. We almost lost our 16-month-old. We almost lost her, and I was, like, devastated that it even came that close. Like, I was, I can't, nope.
Yeah. So within 2 weeks, my older half-sister's, her daughter had, was born with heart complications, and they had done surgeries, and it just didn't work out. And my nephew was, so that was even a bigger surprise, because it was sudden infant death syndrome. He just stopped breathing. And so this sort of put me in that state, you know, I was like, wow, like is this what life is about? We go through this cycle, and then the most innocent children pass. And so I really started pushing it. I just drank even more, and I was that person who just pushed my limit, because I had always been the one to drink the most, do the most, you know, in everything, work, working out, drugs and alcohol. Like, I was just always that person. And I just pushed myself that weekend. I remember I was like, you know, whatever, you know, just another day. Like, what do I really have to live for? This, I don't like work and all this stuff. And I did, I OD'd. And I vividly remember, like my spirit, like flew up, and I was hovering over my body, and I saw everything. I saw me convulsing, and I actually thought I was convulsing. I saw my friends panic. I saw them call 911. I saw them, you know, the ambulance came. I saw them put me in a body bag. I saw my burial. I went to my funeral. Like, this all flashed, like, all of it. And then I went up to Source, Heaven, God, whatever you call it, and felt the most indescribable. Like, when I say, like, words can't describe the feeling of bliss and oneness that I felt. Like, you had no questions, just this everything. And I was given a choice. I was given a choice to stay there. And everything would be perfect, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with staying there, or I could go back. And I remember feeling that I wasn't done yet, like this wasn't my time. And I decided to go back into my body. And when I came to and I got back into consciousness, I still didn't know what, like, it was all a daze and confused. And days after, I was processing everything, I realized that I was given a second chance, and this may never happen again. So I had to do something different to change the trajectory of, like, the hamster wheel, because I knew I would get back into the comfort of the job, of the family, of the friends. So I bought a one-way ticket, and I moved from LA to Miami with no job, no plans, barely any friends, barely any money. But I just knew intuitively that I had to get away from all of that. And so I that's what I did. 5 years ago, I had moved to Miami with all this, and I just rebuilt. I lost everything. You know, I didn't have the connections that I did. I didn't have the job.
Right.
But I knew that thing had to change. And for the first time in my life, I tried something different, which was going inward. My whole life, I had gone through external sources to fill a void, to search. And I realized I needed to do something different. So that's how I found, and I started meditation. I started meditating. And for those listening, meditation did not come easy to me. You know, my mind was always racing. I was always had anxious thoughts. And I had to start from the very beginning, literally like 1 minute, because I tried the 10 minutes to sit down. My mind went crazy. So, and I tell this to my clients and to people, I'm like, just start with 1 minute. You have to crawl before you could stand, and stand before you could walk, and walk before you could run. And it was such a humbling experience for me. But that's what I did. And I found just this practice that worked for me, that worked with slowing down my thoughts, with really expanding my mind. And, you know, that's how I ended up. I loved it so much because it changed a frequency and energy in me. And then I dove into, you know, different energy healings, working with shamans, plant medicine, just all the things, mindset, transformation, all of these things. And I realized, oh my gosh, like, I actually have a choice. Just like I was given a choice to stay in heaven, whatever you call it, or come back, like, I actually have a choice to change how my thought patterns were and what I did and said and all of these things. I ended up, you know, I love meditation so much, I became a certified pranayama and meditation teacher. And pranayama is actually, these are all based on Ayurvedic teachings. Our Ayurveda is the science of life. It's over 5,000 years, originated in India, where pranayama is the science of cleansing and controlling your breath. And this was so transformative for me because I realized that most people, we take our breath for granted, and we could change everything by just consciously breathing and practicing the power of our breath. So even just right now, whatever anyone is doing, you can just stop and take conscious breath at this moment. Like, take a deep inhale in, like, really being aware of your breath, and exhale. Just being aware of your breath. And then another inhale in. Hold at the top and exhale. slowly, you change your brainwave. You just, this short pause, you can, you know, decrease anxiety. There's studies on this. And they've connected mm-hmm. people to, with their heads, how they can, just by this practice, that you can practice this over and over, but the power of our breath, you know, we can start, you know, changing our thought patterns and changing these anxious moments and these moments of overwhelm that we get into these loops, right? This, I call it the rabbit hole. We just go down this path of like whatever this rabbit hole goes to. And since then, I've been on this path to heal. And to, then after that, I started sharing. I was like, oh my gosh, how come more people don't know about this? That we can literally, you know, change our thoughts from thinking about all the bad things that happened in our past and reliving it over and over again, into changing our thoughts into, okay, what do we want to create in our lives? What do we have control over this very moment? What do we want to do now? Instead of thinking about, you know, who did me wrong, what happened, what I did wrong, like, and grew from there. And since then, my practice, I started sharing, people started, it just organically happened. This is not something, what I'm doing now is not anything I would have ever thought I would have done. But because I put in the work and like I did the healing and I just started sharing, it organically started coming back. People like, what are you doing? Like, how is this? And I started speaking about my experience and started speaking about it on podcasts and writing articles. And now it's this growth that what it is. And I realized that zone of genius, because I had gone from one end super logical and into business and marketing and not really having a spiritual practice to going all the way into having a really strong spiritual practice to the point where I actually didn't want to be in this, in our society. I wanted to go into an ashram or go into the jungle or the desert and kind of just meditate. And I realized like that was also a form of escapism. Like we're here in this reality, in this, like we need to, you know, what did we learn? And so I realized coming here to sort of finding this balance that where I thrive is sharing this story so I could help other women step into their power and to thrive in life and business. So melding my experience with business and marketing and business development with spirituality. So I work with a lot of women, men too. I actually have two male clients,
right,
primarily women,
yep,
to transform. You can alchemize your pain into purpose. And you transform this trauma into a triumph and use this because you have such a valuable story that can help others. And with this authenticity, you will thrive in both life and business. And that's why, you know, it comes sort of full circle.
Yeah. So pranayama, is it, because I want to be sure and clear, because I've never heard of it. So is it, because I do a lot of mindfulness and meditations and, you know, do the breathing exercises and, you know, mm-hmm. is that primarily the foundation of what it is? Is like breathing,
yes,
and
actually.
Like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Yeah, a lot of,
yeah, because I know there's
a lot of,
yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. A lot of breath work. And for example, yep, there's a technique, a breath work technique called 4-7-8, where you inhale,
yep,
for 4 breaths, hold for 7 and you exhale for 8. That was based on pranayamic exercise techniques.
Did not know that. I use that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Did not know that. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I use an app called Headspace, the Headspace
mm-hmm.
app. And there's a lot of breathing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of visualization. There's a lot of, you know, just different things. And the one
mm-hmm.
thing that every single meditation, mindfulness, every single exercise has in common is your breathing. 100% is all about your breathing, you know? And so
mm-hmm.
I've seen ones that are like inhale for 5, hold for 2, blow for 5. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've seen the 4-7-8, I've used that. But what I like about certain ones that it said, inhale abundance, exhale the stress. And then the next
mm-hmm.
one would be like,
yeah,
inhale positive emotions, exhale negativity. You know, so it's giving you something
yeah.
to do, giving you something to think about while breathing. You know, and I've said for
yep.
years, think about that. And some people agree, and some people think I'm stupid. That's okay. I forgive them. But I think that smoking, as bad as it is, smoking is a stress reliever. Because in stress management, you're told to remove yourself from the situation. Well, since you can't smoke in buildings, you've removed yourself from the situation. You know, some people say, go to the gym, go exercise. You can tell somebody who's pissed off because they're pacing back and forth. They're walking. They're exercising. And thirdly, they are inhaling the cigarette or cigar, whatever they're smoking, like crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And so what are they doing? They're breathing. They literally, in the act of smoking, has accomplished all three of what it takes to become relieved of stress. Removing yourself from the situation, exercising, and breathing. You'd be like, breathe, breathe. I am breathing. You know, that's why I say you are being relieved of stress while smoking. Like, for some people, that is a stress reliever. Like, no, that's just stupid. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, whatever. But, like, in its purest form, you know, so I used to smoke cigars, and that's where I thought about it. I'm like, this is so stress relieving stuff, you know, this is what we're doing, you know. You're killing yourself, but at the same time. But every single thing that is in meditation and stress relief and anxiety and everything is all rooted in breathing techniques. I love that.
Absolutely, because it is our life force. What people don't understand is that the key to everything is our breath. It is the first thing that we take into our bodies as we are born and is the last thing that escapes us when we die. And our prana is actually our life force. And pranayama, our breath, is the gateway to that life force. And so that is why everything has to do with the breath. It all goes back to your breath. And anyone can practice this. You know, people like, oh, I actually had someone, this article is about, oh, wellness and mindfulness are only for people who are rich who can invest in all this. And I'm like, no, anyone can do it. You can breathe, right? Like, don't just put it off because you think this is something that other people can do. This is your breath. Everything that you can, this is something, you're giving your power away by saying that, you know, oh, that person has this. And
right.
That. No, you also have that, you know, you have that power, and you're inhaling and exhaling. Just control it and then take that power back. And people just don't realize it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You said something, I mean, wow, the power thing just really hit home. That really, I mean, because I talk about that a lot in my resilience training.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. That's huge. What you just said,
as simple as our breath.
Go back and like listen again. So say it again one more time. What you just said, that was a bomb.
that everyone has this power, and it all begins with our breath. When we give our power away, when we say, oh, that person can do this or they have this, you're giving your power away. All have this power, and it all starts with our breath. As long as we can control this and we can, through our breath, we can start re-changing and re-alchemizing our thoughts and our mind, we take our power back.
Love it. I absolutely love that. And we always see right now the women empowerment movement, right? We always say, you don't see a men empowerment movement. You know what I mean? I don't think I've ever seen, like, men need to be more empowered. Like, I don't, that's never going to happen. Like, it just doesn't, right? It just doesn't happen. So we see that too all the time. You know, we need to get, like, I see it in certain speaker circles. Like, we need more women speakers.
Mm-hmm.
We need this, you know, so, oh my gosh, that's huge. That's huge. And so you work with women to bring them that power that they need and teach them to not just give it away.
Mm-hmm. And it's
amazing.
As simple as first with it's the breath, and then it's being able to rewrite your, and once you find the healing from that, share it with the world, because there's power in that. What scares you the most, like, oh my gosh, that's such a, because I felt like this before, no, oh my gosh, this story about my father and all this, and being so open about, you know, being imperfect and doing drugs and alcohol, I actually, you know, never would have ever thought I would be so open about this. But that's where your power
right.
lies, in that vulnerability, in that authenticity, you know, instead of faking it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So mm-hmm. let's talk about the work that you do. Who do you work with? And what would be the ideal person who's listening right now? What do you want them to do?
Mm-hmm. So my ideal person that I work with are definitely heart-centered and soulful women who are either entrepreneurs or have a side hustle, or they want to leave their 9-to-5 and move into something that's more fulfilling. All of the common thread is that everyone has a social mission. But whatever they're doing is conscious, meaning that it's not just about themselves, that they have a mission to empower others or to lift others up or whatever it is. It could be through a product or service, but they know that they are changing the lives of others through the work that they're doing. And a lot of women don't think that they have this ability. And I'm telling them, you think that you can change just one person. Like, who am I to change one person? But if you really think about it, you're not just changing one person. For example, you work with one person and their life changes. They're happier. They have more love and abundance in their life. You're not just changing their person and the trajectory
right.
of their lives. You're changing their husbands or wives or children, because, you know, it's this conscious ripple effect. You're helping them heal ancestral wounds as well as future generations. You're literally breaking that cycle. So when people say, who am I? I'm like, who are you not to? You know, who are you not
right.
to? Because it's not just one person. It's this conscious ripple effect of, you know, tens and hundreds and thousands of people, and you just don't even know, you know. So you are doing such a yeah. disservice to yourself and to all the future people that you're helping by not stepping into your power.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps getting better and better.
Because I went through this myself.
Yeah, I was just saying.
You know,
like,
when I was going through.
Right. I was just saying, I feel like you've gone through it. I've gone through it. Like, other people have gone through it. Like, and you come from a place of authenticity. You come from a place of, I've been there. It's like empathy. Like, I've been there. I know what you're going through. Like, I can help you
mm-hmm.
because I'm on the other side of it now. And when we're in that
mm-hmm.
dark night of the soul, we don't believe
mm-hmm.
it's possible for us. We don't see the other side. And then someone like you comes along and they're like, put your arm around them and like, I got you. I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you're feeling. Here's how we're going to make
yeah.
this happen. Bam.
Yeah. Especially for women and especially for women of color, because I feel, especially in the space of speaking and being an entrepreneur, there's just not, you know, looking around, there's not many, first of all, not many women of color, not many Asian Americans, because our culture is like, don't call attention to yourself. Don't be in the spotlight. Don't say this. Don't rock the boat, you know? And I was conditioned to that for a long time, you know? I realized that's not, you know, that's never going to change. And we keep saying, we need more people like this. We need more people like this. I'm like, you know what? I'm looking for the, like, I need to be that person. So anyone who's listening, if you have this strong passion and you keep saying, someone needs to do this, someone needs to do this, why not you?
Yes.
Why not?
Oh, 100%. Why not?
So that's why I decided.
Why not
to,
you?
Yeah, to step in. And, you know, the amount of people I've been able to help, and even through podcasts and messages, and I'm like, if I never stepped into my power and shared my story authentically, you know, I would have never inspired them, and now they're inspiring others and helping others. It's just, it just keeps going, this conscious ripple effect. That's why it's so important. You know, we need to create more leaders. There's not enough leaders out there, conscious leaders, you know, to help really move the needle forward to positive change and social impact.
That's true. Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
true. And like I said before, I hear a lot, you know, in speaker circles, in NSA, PSA, you know, a lot of the speaker associations are like, come on, women, step up. Like, we need more speakers, you know, we need more, you know,
mm-hmm.
I love seeing female podcasters, you know, I'm like, oh, they're doing a show. Like, that's so cool. And some of the best shows I've listened to are female hosts, and they're crushing
mm-hmm.
it. You know, there's a event that I speak at every year called New Media Summit. Unfortunately, I have to miss next week for some other things that are happening and, you know, here locally and in, you know, because I'm military, so we got some things going on. But one of the ladies there that I met, she's like, I think she's like 60 years old or maybe even older. Mm-hmm. And her name is Gail. And Gail has a show called The Spunky Old Broad. Like, that's so cool.
I love it.
Right? And she goes, I'm the SOB. Everyone's like, oh, geez. Like, she introduced herself, like, I'm the SOB, you know? And then she waits, and everyone's like, what the hell? Spunky old broad. And you're like, oh,
I love it. I love it.
She has people on the show that are over the age of 55. I'm like, that's so freaking cool. You know, and so I look
cool.
around, you know, I've heard a couple episodes of your show. I've heard episodes of other, you know, women, you know, that are doing podcasting. I'm like, that is so amazing. So they need more of it, you know?
Yeah.
They need more of that stuff. Because you guys just bring, you ladies, bring a different perspective. You know, yesterday on the show for Valentine's Day, I had a relationship and intimacy expert. And, man, we went in depth. Mm-hmm. We went in depth on relationships. And it's nice to have that different perspective. Or to say, yeah, I agree with that, whatever. And then the woman goes, yeah, that's true. I'm like, oh, I'm in tune with women. Look at me.
You are. And, you know, that's a beautiful thing because you're able to balance out masculine and feminine, you know, feminine energies. We all have that. And what it is that more women are like, well, who I hear this all the time. Who am I? You know, who's going to listen to me? It's very this, like, kind of, like, meek, like, oh, I'm not special enough, or I haven't done this enough, I haven't done blank enough, whatever it is. And I'm like, who are you not to? Your own experiences that are super unique to you, I'm like, the right person will resonate with it. Because trust me, if you're trying to please everyone, nothing's going to change. But if you're actually polarizing people, that's actually a good thing. Because that means that you have a message that the right people will resonate with, and the people who don't get you, they just don't get you, or they don't like you or whatever, but that's okay. They're not your people. That's not your tribe. You know, I say this all because I say things on my show that some people may think are just, oh, I've had comments, even from family. You're talking a little, like, those things, don't talk about those things. Those are personal things, or that's kind of crazy. I get this all the time. I'm like, no. The right people are going to resonate with this. And if you don't resonate, then this is not for you, you know?
Yeah. 100%. Why do you think that is, though? Is it because of the culture? Is it because that's just the way they were raised? That's what they were told?
Mm-hmm. Yep. All of that. All of the above.
Wow. Okay. Perfect. So at this time, let's do a shameless plug. We're going to plug friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, whatever it is that you want to plug, whatever you want the listeners to know and to do. This is the moment. Shameless plug. Go.
Love it. So any LA or SoCal listeners, I am actually having an event on March 6th in downtown LA called Creating Money and Magic. And it is all about conscious entrepreneurship, women's empowerment, and wellness. So I could send you a link, but you know, it is all there, and I think it's such a beautiful night of coming together, celebrating women. Men are always welcome, but how you can create a business that you love but also is a conscious business. I'm very active on Instagram. That is really the main platform that I do, that I update all the time. Instagram, MBACOLUBA. You can hop onto my website, MarianneBacaluba.com, and my podcast, Thriver Lifestyle Podcast. And my YouTube channel, Mondays with Marianne.
Love it. Awesome. So as we close, give the listeners one nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action today.
That's beautiful. I always believe that we should do more than just inspire, but actually activate, because there's a difference between inspiring people and then actually activating to take action. And as I mentioned earlier, even just that small step because you need to take that small step in order to create momentum for change. So whatever it is, that idea that you have, that business, that podcast you want to launch, that, you know, since you want that DM of that person, whatever it is, just do it. Take that initial action and move forward and continue putting one foot down and then the other, and just continue that, because this journey that we're on is a journey that unfolds, and you can move from survivor to thriver by just taking these steps.
Love it. Amazing. I want to thank you so much for your time, for your energy, everything that you shared with us today. It's absolutely amazing, and you are amazing, and you're doing amazing things in this world. And I wish you the best at your event on March 6th, and wish you the best for the rest of 2019.
Thank you so much for having me, for also for you, for creating the space for us to share. So thank you so much, Sean, and thank you to everyone listening.
Perfect. So Life Transformation Radio listeners, an amazing guest who is empowering everyone that she comes across, women or men, she's empowering them to do amazing things. So if anything resonated with you, go to her website right there in the show notes. Right there, go to www.marianbacoloba.com and then follow her on Instagram. She's always on Instagram. And then look at her YouTube channel. Check out her podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review her show, Thriver Lifestyle Podcast. She's doing amazing things. It's worth connecting. And let her know that you heard Life Transformation Radio, heard her episode. As we close, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.